There was a 1971 film called The Gang That Couldn't Shoot Straight about two mafia gangs who just couldn't quite figure it out. And as I watch and listen and read about the sort of some of the weirdness of this current administration, I'm reminded of that movie. And I thought, who better to talk about? A guy that knows TV very well. All sorts of TV, and is certainly a brilliant writer on top of all of that. Christian Snyder joins me. You can see his work at nationalreview.com and other great publications. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning. Yeah, that that book, The Gang That Couldn't Shoot Straight, was written by Jimmy Breslin.
Yes.
The great Jimmy Breslin.
Yeah, yes. what a fantastic writer. I guess the story for most people, at least for me looking at the story, Pete Hegseth, certainly a high cabinet member of the Trump administration, using a messaging app called Signal to sort of share military information. He says not secrets. He says not military plans across a wide group of governmental officials. But the problem was he copied in a member of the media from The Atlantic, and that is editor-in-chief. What's his first name? It's Goldberg. What's his first name?
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey Goldberg, who I think wisely didn't share that information until after the attack, but it does sort of raise this question. An administration who's intent on doing a lot of things really quickly, maybe not paying attention to the details of maintaining the highest level of secrecy and safety and security of our really important defensive posturing and information. What do you think?
Yeah, what does it say when an Atlantic reporter shows more discretion in sharing
right.
American secrets than the Secretary of Defense. Yeah, I mean, it's horrifying. The real problem, it's a problem that they copied Jeffrey Goldberg in on his group chat, but the real problem is that they were setting this thing up on, you know, a third-party, privately owned chat system to begin with. I mean, that's the real problem. And that everybody in the chat room seemed to know this. I mean, they all have it on their phones and they're all, you know, chatting away about national security secrets while they're out grocery shopping. Mm. When normally they would have to be in a secure facility to talk about a lot of this stuff. So, and they didn't even have the smarts to, you know, use code names or anything like that. These people, they're using their real names in this chat thing. And, you know, Signal is supposed to be for people who don't want their information, you know, it's doubly encrypted or whatever. But if you think that there's not somebody watching these messages or not some sort of log of these messages somewhere, I mean, you're kidding yourself. So,
well, one of the attendees was actually in the Kremlin getting these messages real time. I mean, come on.
Right. Yeah. And nobody thought to say, hey, maybe we shouldn't be doing this on an unsecure chat room. Or, hey, who is this JG guy that nobody knows who's just kind of lurking there, you know, wearing a fake mustache?
Yeah.
And, you know, Goldberg said, you know, as soon as the bombing happened, he left the chat room and started writing up a story. And a lot of people are saying, why didn't you just stay in there and see what else? I mean, because you know for sure there would have been a lot more stuff in that chat room that they would have divulged. So, yeah, it's a disaster all around. It's, you know, you think back to the confirmation hearings and all the stuff that we learned about Pete Hegseth, and this is what happens when you nominate people of low character to cabinet positions. You end up with stuff like this. And I don't know if heads are going to roll, but they seem to just, you know, Trump's strategy is usually just to deny, and then attack. They attack the reporter like it's the reporter's problem that this all happened.
Yeah, not just
and
Trump.
So I don't know.
I got a little clip. Let's actually hear from Mr. Hegseth, his response when confronted by reporters about this incident.
Why were those details shared on Signal, and how did you learn that a journalist was privy to the targets, the types of weapons used?
I've heard it was characterized. Nobody was texting war plans, and that's all I have to say about that.
Right,
thank
it.
You.
That's
appreciate
it.
It.
That's it.
All right, is he right, or is he lying?
They were well. He's lying. They were obviously clearly texting war plans, and you know. as I said, Jeffrey Goldberg is showing some discretion in this and not saying what was said, because it could put, you know, United States agents out in the field in danger, or it could, you know, could harm. This was an operation, the Houthi operation in Yemen, that actually had U.S. soldiers in it. Like, we were out there fighting, and had this information gotten out to the wrong, I mean, but for the grace of God go I, that it ended up with a responsible reporter and not somebody that could have sold it to one of our enemies, it could have cost us a lot of lives. So, I mean, that's the big problem here.
As we are speaking, I'm watching the monitor, and right now in Capitol Hill, there's a hearing going on, and boy, full confidence in Tulsi Gabbard. She'll get to the bottom of this right away. It seems like it's an opportunity for the administration to just sort of defend something that, in my mind, is indefensible. I'll say it, and I had this conversation about Pete Hegseth earlier. I won't say who I was talking to. I say he's unqualified for the position, and I was reacted to with the comment, well, you know what? He served in the military. He certainly has the qualifications. And I guess my expectation for someone that leads the Department of Defense is the highest levels of experience in military leadership, not just some guy who's clever on Fox, a good-looking man, and has the ability to apparently consume a lot of alcohol and still function, when put it that way.
Yes, that is true. And then, you know, there are the other people, when you have to clean the stuff up, and suppose laws were broken, what, Kash Patel, the new FBI leader, is gonna get into this, or Pam Bondi, who is clearing out the Department of Justice, you know, firing anybody who had anything to do with investigating Trump, you know, in the last couple of years. I mean, these people are not going to get to the bottom of any of this stuff. So, you know, I assume everybody's just going to get off scot-free.
Christian Snyder, great writer and friend of the show, on every couple of weeks. So take a break here. There's a lot of other commentary on this issue. We'll play some of that for you after this on 620 WTMJ.
I'm concerned about Trump officials transmitting classified war plans on unsecured channels.
Listen, the administration, as I understand, I just was with the president in the Oval Office just now. The administration is addressing what happened. Apparently an inadvertent phone number made it onto that thread. They're going to track that down and make sure that it doesn't happen again. What you did see, though, I think, was top-level officials doing their job, doing it well, and executing on a plan with precision. That mission was a success. No one was jeopardized because of it. We're grateful for that, but they will certainly, I'm sure, make sure that doesn't happen.
But here's a follow-up question. So doing your job well is conducting this private chat on a public messaging service that maybe they say it's encrypted, but probably isn't. That's doing your job. And a guy like Speaker Mike Johnson, who I think still Christian Snyder, who's joining me on the phone today, I think there's more to know about Speaker Mike Johnson. At some point, we're going to find out this guy's real story, because he is, for lack of a better term, a Trump you-know-what kisser, in my opinion.
Yeah, he has his job because he is. I don't know. He's shown some skill in rounding up votes because he has such a thin majority. But, yeah, on this, the fact that the operation was a success doesn't really mean anything. Had this information fallen into the wrong hands, it could have not been a success. And, you know, so this is what you're going to get. These are the talking points. They're going to attack the reporter. Trump at some point today is going to announce that he wants to take over some other new country, Brazil or Poland or something, and that's going to take everybody's mind off of what's happening. You know, this is what he does every single time. You know, they're going to attack Hillary Clinton for coming out and saying something on Twitter. Like, of all the people that probably need to sit this one out, Hillary Clinton and her private server
probably
are. Yeah, there seems to be this thing. There was a story in the Washington Post yesterday about how, well, there goes the but her emails talking point. It's like, no, you know, this is worse, but just because this is worse doesn't mean the thing Hillary Clinton did wasn't bad. I mean, it doesn't ameliorate the, you know, what she did. So, but yeah, this Trump's going to change the topic, and you know, in 2 days we'll be on something else.
Well, since you brought him up, I mean, the President of the United States basically was asked about it yesterday. He goes, "I don't know about it." First of all, do you think that's true, that he didn't know about it? And secondly, is that the response a president who's fully capable of handling the highest office in the world, is that the way they should answer that question?
Of course he knew about it. There's no way. It was hours after the story broke. So, yeah.
And he watches a lot of TV, so I'm sure he saw this.
Right. He just doesn't want to give a reporter the the credit for asking the question or knowing something that he doesn't, or whatever it is. He's just going to deny. He never admits he's wrong about anything, and it seemed to actually be working out pretty well for him, this strategy. So you're never going to get to the bottom of whatever he knew, didn't know, or any of this stuff, just because he's just not going to tell the truth.
Writer and columnist Christian Slater joining us, as he does every other Tuesday, on the Political Power Hour on 620 WTMJ. I guess we'll close with this. I mean, we're sort of having fun with this, and I used the reference to the 1971 film, The Game That Couldn't Shoot Straight, starring, I believe, Jerry Orbach and Robert De Niro and a bunch of other people. Herb Villachez was in that movie, for Pete's sake. And it's a fun movie. If you want to go back and find it, it's actually a good watch. It wasn't a great film, but it's just a funny movie. But when I think about the ramifications of things like this, I made the point on social, I think, last night or today, that it suggests that this administration, they like to do a lot of things, but they don't necessarily pay attention to detail enough to do a lot of things properly, correctly, backed up with the proper science, data, research, and analytical skills that would sort of give you an informed decision. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, we might have to actually go back and offer an apology to everybody that worked in the first Trump administration, because yeah. These people, like Reince Priebus at the time, he's a friend of mine. And at the time I was like, why would you go do this? And the argument from these people at the time was like, well, no, Trump may not be great, but we need people like this in office because we're competent. We can keep him from his worst impulses. And, except for maybe COVID, we dodged a real bullet during his first administration. And now he has people that don't have the ability to control him. He has all of his cabinet appointments are basically bootlickers who will do whatever he wants. And his worst personality characteristics are coming out now. He's with these tariff things, he's tanking the market, he's not taking any advice, and he's getting the America that he wants now. And so the people in the first administration, I think, were able to do that. And so we owe them a debt of gratitude because they were professionals, and these people are not.
Author, columnist, great sort of reporter on politics and a whole lot more, Christian Slater. Thanks for taking the time, as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me.